This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Best of Tea with Twiggy, where we put together some interviews that I've done in the past that I'm very fond of. And this week is the wonderful, lovely Phil Rosenthal, who's got a new series coming out. I think it's on Netflix, and it's Somebody Feed Phil, and it's absolutely brilliant. I love him to bits. And we've teamed him up with the gorgeous, lovely Alan Titchmarsh, who I actually saw last night at a do. Lovely, lovely man. So enjoy. I enjoyed doing it, so enjoy listening. Bye.
I'm going to take you back in time. You grew up, you're from Queens, right?
Yeah.
Oh, real New Yorker.
That's
real,
right.
New York boy.
You know who else was born in Queens?
Fran.
That's right. And Ray.
And Ray, okay.
And our president.
Oh, dear.
So it's not all good news coming out of Queens.
I didn't know he was born in Queens.
Yep. Look how dead everything just went. I just killed the whole podcast.
Do you think he's got spies listening in?
You never know. Well, if there's a transcript, at least we know we won't read it.
That's so funny. Did you move out when you were a little boy?
Yes, I went to the Bronx when I was 9, and then Rockland County, which is a little suburb, about a half an hour north of the city, till I was 17. Then I went to Hofstra University on Long Island and studied theater.
So was the plan to be an actor?
Yeah, because I loved comedy. I just loved comedians and comedy and everyone on television in the 60s. I watched so much TV to a fault. My parents would say, what are you going to do, get a job watching television? And the moment I got a job in Hollywood writing television, my first job, I sent my parents the biggest television that they make with a note on it that said, ha ha.
That's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
But that's all I wanted to do. I didn't know when you're a child, you don't know there's writing and directing and producing. No. You just see, you know, Jackie Gleason and Art Carney, and you want to be them. You want to just be funny. I didn't want to be a stand-up comedian.
I'd say, did you ever do stand-up?
I tried it once. It's horrifying. Terrifying. Terrifying.
I actually think in our profession, that must be the most terrifying of all.
You're the most naked because if you're a singer, you at least have the song. If you're a comedian, you just have you, right? So it's rough. And I have the utmost respect for people like Ray Romano and everyone who dares to get up on stage and do it well.
Unbelievable.
So in school, in high school, or even elementary school, the only legitimate way for you to be funny and not be thrown out of school is to be in the school play. Mm-hmm. So that was me. Did you do that too?
I was incredibly shy. I mean, it's so weird what happened to me happened because I was really shy. I never really did the school play. I sang a bit in the choir, but I was terribly shy and I wasn't outgoing. And so what happened to me was so weird because I was as shocked as everyone else, you know, in the world that what happened to me happened. I was obsessed with clothes and fashion like all teenage girls are.
Yeah.
And that's what I looked like. That makeup was my eye makeup that I used to paint on myself.
How old were you when they grabbed you?
16, just.
Amazing.
But a very young, I mean, when I look at 16-year-olds today, they seem so sophisticated.
More sophisticated than me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was still kind of very shy and in, you know, and hated what I looked like most teenage girls. I mean,
but
I've never
met... the world telling you are the look.
So I just love fashion and I love clothes and I used to make all my clothes because I was a mod.
Yes.
You know, we had a thing in the 60s called mods and rockers.
Of course.
And I was a little mod. And so the clothes were a big element and you couldn't really buy mod clothes. So I used to make them.
Really? And were these featured on magazines and things, the things you made?
Not there. No. Because that was just me. I was a schoolgirl. No, they were just clothes I wore at weekends.
Nice.
So, but that was my kind of look. And then I had the haircut, and that's what kind of catapulted me into madness.
Do you think mine will catch on, this haircut?
Oh,
my wife did it with clippers 2 days ago, and she went a little crazy. If you look, your listeners can't see this, but you can see a lot of me right under here. She went very short.
Yeah, she's done very short. She'll grow.
I think she was mad at me.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Now, I've read a story, I've got to ask if it's true, that your reporting began in the late 70s where you reported a plague of green fly in Margate. Is this true?
I did, absolutely true.
It's
I was
brilliant.
I'd left Kew Gardens. I started my life as an apprentice gardener, and I then went to college for a year in Hertfordshire. Then I went to Kew Gardens as a student for three. Then I taught there for a couple of years, and from there I went into journalism as a gardening books editor, and then I became deputy editor of a gardening magazine. And we used to get calls from, you know, BBC saying, can you field somebody for this, that or the other? And I'd already started doing little bits for You and Yours, the radio programme on Radio 4, sort of, you know, Good Friday, tell us what to do in the garden this Easter weekend. And they started using me for odd little newsy things happened. And the Today programme used me as well. I was invited on the Today programme because it must have been about June, I think. There was a warm wind blowing across Europe. Ooh. And it really suited greenfly, and it brought millions of greenfly across the channel. And there were decorators painting shop fronts in Margate, and suddenly, woof, all their paint was covered in greenfly that had blown over. So I did a bit on Today in the morning where they said, come in and tell us what to do about all these greenfly. And it was in the days before I was organic, and I've been organic for about 40 years. So I was probably recommending various noxious sprays to get rid of them. Anyway, somebody heard me from Nationwide, Do you remember Nationwide? Which
yeah, I do.
It was that early evening Current Affairs show. It's only famous for the skateboarding duck. It did a lot more than that, but that's what everybody remembers. And they said, come and tell us how to control green flies. So that was my first taste of TV, and it was live in the evening. And at the end of it, they said, oh, you were wonderful. The marvellous, come back. And I went home full of the kind of, they said, I was wonderful. I must go back. Well, a year later, I had another phone call because somebody had had a roof garden in a block of flats and it had collapsed into the flat below. And they said, come and tell us how to make a roof garden without it collapsing into the flat below.
Oh my goodness.
I went and did that. And they said, oh, marvellous, wonderful, love you, were great, you must come back. So I came home and said, oh, usual thing, you know. Anyway, the following week, they rang up. And I don't think I've been off the telly since 1980. That was 1980 then. My first one was 1979. And I sort of did Nationwide and Breakfast Time, and then all the rest followed, you know.
That's amazing. So that was the beginning of your amazing television career.
I owe my career to Greenfly.
Never disparage them. Has there been a plague ever since or not?
No, just the one. So timing was everything.
Well, somebody up there was looking over you.
They were. And talk about a plague of boils and locusts. They sent me a plague of Greenfly. It did me a lot of good.
Actually, wasn't there a couple of weeks ago a plague of locusts somewhere?
But mercifully not in this country. And they really
did.
Where was it?
I read it was somewhere
overseas. Was it somewhere in the States? I think it's in America.
It might have been, yeah. Unbelievable.
But they absolutely, you know, they come in and within hours, things are just totally denuded. I mean, greenfly only sucks sap. Locusts eat foliage. So,
phew. But it must be terrible. If they land on you, what do they do?
Oh, well, not much.
Bite or anything,
no,
do they?
No, just tough old skin. They flit off.
I won't run if I see a locust.
No, they are big, though. They're, you know.
I actually envy you working at Kew Gardens. Was it amazing?
Well, it was. And, I mean, it is the best plant collection in the world. And my parents, they only took... I don't know how many do they take now. It's a 3-year course, and they take, in those days, they took about 15 students a year.
Wow.
Out of all the hundreds of applications. So my parents bought me a transistor radio for getting in.
Sweet.
But I worked in the Palmer House, you know, that wonderful big greenhouse there. And I looked after a plant that Captain Cook had brought back. And they said, don't kill it.
No pressure.
It doesn't like being overwatered. Oh, my goodness. But don't let it dry out. Oh, crikey. Anyway, it's still alive. I went back last year. It's still there. Yeah.
Did you give it a hug?
I did. We had a conversation.
And say, remember me.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening to Phil and Alan. And if you want to listen to the whole episode of either guest, you just scroll down my podcast feed till you find them, and then you press play. So enjoy.